Rabbi Schoenfeld substituting for Rabbi Moshe Elefant, Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld. Today we're in Bava Basra, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We're going to start with the very first line. And this is continuing in the Agarato, where the Gemara talks of Hurdas having killed out most of the Rabbanim of his time, and however he did spare Bava Ben Buta, but he did blind him by putting the skin of porcupine around him, around his eyes. And he kept him for counsel on occasion. Yamachad Asa V'yoev Kamei, one day Hurdas sat down beside Bava Ben Buta, who he had just blinded, and he still sought his counsel. Omar, and he said, Chazi Mar, Hai Avda Bisha, Maika Avid. Tell me, sir, what do you think we should do with a slave, a lowly slave, who now finds himself in a position of rulership? Amalei, Amayi Avid Lei. What do you say that we should do with him? Not much we can do with him. Amalei Neltai, he was trying to goad him. Hurdas was trying to goad Bava Ben Buta into saying something that would be rebellious against him, to confirm the fact that the Rabbanim were treacherous. Amalei Natalia Mar, let him curse him. That's what Hurdas suggested, tried to entice him with that. Amalei Ksiv, no, we have the Pasuk in Kehelis which tell us, Gam b'mo'adoecha melech al tekalel. Even in your thoughts, do not curse a king. So, not a good idea. Amalei Hailav melechu. He's not a genuine king. He was an Eved who himself usurped the power. So Amalei, Sababavim Mambuta responded, V'lahave asher ba'alma. Let him be no worse than just a wealthy man. He did rise to prominence. And again, keeping in mind that Bava Ben Buta did not realize who he's sitting next to because he was blinded. So he says, Amalei v'lahavli asher ba'alma. Let him just be like any wealthy, prominent man. And we have to treat him with respect as well. Uksiv v'chadri mishkav ha'al tekala. And in your innermost sanctum, do not curse al tekalel asher. Do not curse a rich man. You have to respect a person for his wealth and for his prominence. So Hurdas is still trying to see if he can incite him. V'lo yehe ela nasi. Let him at least be like a leader, like a prince amongst people. So he says, and then he said, but which Bava Ben Buta said, sorry, but you're not allowed to curse a nasi either. Amalei, so Hurdas responds, because he knew already the drushes chazal, but oisa maisa amcha, that's provided that when a nasi behaves like he should be. But the nasi ba'amcha laisar, we know that it's that the chazal tells us, all that's provided that behaves like a nasi does with full dignity. V'hai lav oisa maisa amcha. But this person is not. He's not this fellow, this lowly slave who now became a king, referring to himself, is not really he's not behaving himself in a proper fashion where he deserves the respect. Amalei, so he says, Mistafina Mine. So Bava Ben Buta said, all right, you're cornering me, but I'm afraid altogether to start up. You don't start up, don't curse this individual. Amalei, so he tells him, Leki Inish the Azul, the Lema Lei Dana Vaat Yasivna. Is anybody going to know that this is just between us? Between us, we'll talk, just between the two of us, we'll talk. No one's going to know that we even had this little meeting between us. You can tell me. Amalei, so Bava Ben Buta tells him, Ksiv Ki Of Hashemayim Yalech Es Hakol, Pasuk in Kehelis Tez, no, you never know. The birds and sweeping the heavens, they will carry the rumors. Ubal Knafayim Yagidavar, and amongst their wings, word will spread. So even though you think no one's listening, but it could be, as we would say, a little birdie. It could be even the birds will carry the reverberations of our conversation, and you never know who might end up hearing what we're saying. There's a common proverb, what you don't want your worst enemy to find out, don't tell your best friend. You never know where it's going to end up. Amalei, I know who, I want to tell you something. I am this Melech. Now Hurdas revealed to Bavan Buta, to the blind Bavan Buta, who he was all along. I know who I'm the fellow. I'm the one who all, I am that king, that slave king that we're talking about all along. I am Hurdas. Ihavi Yadana, the Zari, Rabbanon, Kulahai. Had I realized that the Rabbanon were really so considerate of the covet of a king, and they never really had any designs to rebel against the king and against me, which he had suspected all along, Lohavi Katilna Lahu, and I never would have killed them. I see from you, Bava Membuta, that after all, the Rabbanon really are loyal to their king. Had I realized that all along, I never would have killed them. So hashta maita kante dahu gavra. So what is the takana? What can I possibly do? Dahu gavra is literally means of this individual, but it's his way of referring to himself in the third person. Hashta maita kante dahu gavra. What do you suggest? How can we remedy what I've done? I've killed out the Rabbanan, and Tosis also makes a point of saying that there were survivors, but I've killed out most of the Rabbanan, and it'll become apparent the Gemara a little bit later, that there were survivors. But what do you say is the remedy that will help me in having some type of pardon before Hashem for what I've done? Amalei, so he told him, Bava Ben Buta is addressing Hurdas in the third person. Amalei, hu kava arish al olam. He extinguished the fire, the light of the world, Iksiv Kiner Mitzvah Torah Or, because it's the light of the is provided by mitzvahs, and Torah Or and Torah is the mitzvahs are the candle, and the Torah is the Or, is the light that emanates from the candles, from the burning flame of the mitzvah. So mitzvahs and Torah are considered like that flickering light that emanates from the candle and the light of Torah and mitzvahs. So yelef yasa ba'or shalolam. So you want to, if you put out this light, the light of Torah, you extinguished. So yelef yasa ba'or shalolam. What I can suggest to you is that you be involved now in restoring the light to this world. Diksiv, as the pasuk says, v'nahar olav kol ha'goyim, and all this light will be shed upon all the nations of the world. Which is taken to mean, in other words, the Beis HaMikdash sheds its light and it beams its light throughout the world. So be involved in restoring the Beis HaMikdash, which was in terrible state of disrepair at the time, and that will be the way that you can remedy what you've done in some small way. Ikidi Amri, others learn it somewhat with a slightly different exchange. Amalei, this is what Bava Ben Buta said to him. Hu sima einav shel olam. He, meaning the king, you heard us. You blinded the einav shel olam, the eyes of the world. And who are they? Those are the Talmid Chachamim. Diksiv v'haya im me'ena ha'eda. If from amongst the ena ha'eda, the leaders of the klal, and this is referring to the zekanim of the dar, pasuk in Bamidbar. V'haya im me'ena ha'eda. So the leaders of the flock of people, of the community of the people of Klal Yisrael, were referred to as Eine, the eyes of the nation. Yelech, therefore, you extinguish their eyes. Yelech v'yisasek be'eino shel olam, so restore the eyes of the world. Diksiv, hineni mechalal es mikdash ga'on uzchem machmar einechem. That here I have desecrated the mikdash, Gaon Uzchem, the very glory of your power, Machmed Einechem, and this is the beauty of your eyes. So the Beis HaMikdash you see is referred to Machmed Einechem as well as the eyes of the people of Israel and the eyes of the world, and therefore you extinguish the eyes of the people of Israel, of Klal Yisrael, by killing its Chachamim. The way that you can in some measure remedy that is by restoring the Beis HaMikdash and restoring the eyes, which is considered the eyes of the world. Amalei, so Hurdas tells him, I'll tell you the truth, Mimastafina Mimalchusa, I'm afraid of the Roman kingdom, of the Roman rulers. go back to Rome. I'm not sure they're going to be very happy that I'm restoring the Beis HaMikdash. It's a nice idea, but I don't know if I can follow through. So the great, mighty, proud, and powerful Hordas showed in his own ways he was fearful of the rulers above him. Amaleis, above him, and Buddha tells him, Shada Shalicha, you know what you do? Send a mission, send an emissary, Veliza al Shata, and go out and let them spend a year traveling to Rome, Vili Akav Shata, and let them spend a year in Rome, in deliberating about the whole plan about you restoring the Beis HaMikdash, Velahada Shata, and then take a year coming, returning from Rome to Israel. If you take your time, you can take a year's journey. So therefore, you'll have 3 years total. Traveling, staying there, returning. And meanwhile, your emissaries will be out on that mission. Ada hachi v'hachi. And while this is all taking place, you have now a 3 year lapse. Sasre lei, knock down the existing Beis HaMikdash. Ubin yisilei, and restore the Beis HaMikdash, rebuild it. Knock down what's there because it's in terrible disrepair, and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You'll have a 3 year span in which you'll be able to do this. Avad hachi. So indeed, he did that, and he listened to his plan, and he sent his people out for 3 years. So he says, so shalchu lei, so now the Romans sent back to him, imlo as follows, imlo sitarta, if you did not yet destroy the Beis HaMikdash, al tistar, do not destroy it, don't destroy it yet. Vim satarta al tivni. But if you did destroy it, don't build it. Vim satarta uvanisa. So he says, and if you did already, if you already destroyed it, they got word back to Hordas, if you already destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and you rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, avda bisha basa da avdan mismalchin. Look at this, you lowly slave that you are. You're just a lowly slave, and you deserve that being called such, because only a lowly slave would, after he commits himself to doing something, to doing a project, then mismalchim, then he first decides to consult. In zaincha alecha, but if you think that you're so proud because you have the prowess of your weaponry, sifracha khan, we have your whole book of your ancestry. It's right before us. We know exactly what your roots are. Your very, very humble and lowly roots. Lo racha v'lo bar racha. You're not a recha. Actually, you're not a recha. You're not the son of a recha. Which the Gemara will explain what that is, what the recha is. But at this point already, you will say that the recha is, you're not a king, nor are you a descending from kings. You have no royalty. Hurdis avda kolanya misabed. All you are is this lonely eved. Hordas, that's all you are, who freed yourself, who somehow managed to elevate yourself from amongst slaves. But who are you to deserve any type of accolades for being a great king? So obviously they were quite upset with him at the thought that he may have destroyed the basement or knocked down the Beis HaMikdash and then restore it. The Ben Yehoyada over here asks, that why would they be upset by saying v'im satarta al tistar, do not destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and if you did destroy it, don't rebuild it. Why would the Romans be upset with him at destroying the Beis HaMikdash? After all, that was their own design, was to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They did a good job of it themselves. Why would they be upset that Hordas destroyed it, with the thought of Hordas destroying the Beis HaMikdash? To which he explains, is because they knew through their own abilities, as Ben Yada explains, through their own ways of doing sorcery, that they were going to one day destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And in a way, they wanted that mitzvah for themselves, of destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted to have the notoriety of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't want this to be championed by Hordas. So that's why they told them, in Loisatarta Altista, if you didn't get yet to knocking it down, don't do it. Save that glorious job for us. All right, let's continue the Gemara. My Recha. What does, when they told them that you're not a Recha or a Bar Recha, what is a Recha? Malchusa means it's kingdom, royalty. Diksiv, Anochi, Hayom, Rach, Mashuach, Melech, in Shmuel Beis, we're told that I am just a, literally Reich means I'm a tender fellow, but I'm a Reich, Mashuach, Melech, I'm just recently being anointed as king, and so the word Reich here, you see, is used in the connotation of kingdom. I'm just a young king, and just recently anointed as king. But Reich, you see, refers to kingdom, kingship. V'boyis Eimah, or is another pasuk that we can illustrate this with, Mehacha, V'yikru lefanav Avreich, and that they this is not talking about Yosef, they refer to Yosef as the Avreich. What is the, was Avreich like the young, aspiring, literally means a young, aspiring father, but it was just a youngster, a young fellow at the time. However, we also know that Yosef was now second in command to the king Pharaoh. So you see that Reich is Reich here as well means kingdom. All right. So that was the exchange with Baba Ben Buta and with Hurdus, and Hurdus got listened to Baba Ben Buta, but he suffered for it for the nasty retort that he got from the Romans. But now the Gemara pauses and comes back and says, Amri, it was said, Mishlo ra binyan Hurdus. Lo ra binyanam miyamav. Whoever did not see the structure that Hurdus built, that magnificent Beis HaMikdash that Hurdus built, which is really the Beis HaMikdash that we see in Yerushalayim, the remnants of the Beis HaMikdash we see in Yerushalayim to this very day. Lo ra binyanam miyamav. He never saw a beautiful structure in his life. So the Gemara tells you, but my binaya, what did he build it with? What were the materials that he used? Amarava. Others say Rava, but Avnei Shisha Umarma. He used marble and granite to build the Beis HaMikdash. Granite and marble to build the Beis HaMikdash. Ikri Amri, but Avnei, and actually in the first opinion, it was white and blue marble. Ikri Amri, others say, but Avnei Kuchla Shisha Umarma. Others say it was like a blue and greenish type of stone that he used. And what was the construction method? Afik shafa va'ayel shafa. And he recessed each stone. It was like staggered. The stones were built upon each other, staggered. One protruded, one was indented. One was protruded, one was indented. What did this accomplish? Kehechid in a kabel sida. In order that it would be better buttressed by the cement, instead of having a straight wall. So this was an engineering design, that having this each one staggered like that and now cementing it in between would be a more firm position for the wall. So Savala Mishaya Bidahava. So Hurdus wanted to spare no expense for his beautiful structure. So he was thinking of plating this whole wall with gold. Amrulay, they told him, Amrulay Rabbanan, Rabbanan. So again, making reference to before. Here you see that some Rabbanan did survive. So there were Rabbanan that did survive Hurdus's purge of the Rabbanim. So it was not 100% complete, but he unfortunately did quite a good job. So Amalei Rabbanan Shafke, leave it alone. The Hachi Shafir Tvei, leave it alone with this staggered look. The Michzei Ki Advasa Diyama, it looks like the waves of the ocean. And the waves of the ocean, as Rashi explains, waves of the ocean, people are very, it's very soothing. People get soothed when they see the waves, the ripple effects in the water. It's a very soothing sight for people to behold. And it's a very bold sight for people to behold as well. And it's striking to have this whole structure look like the waves of the ocean. All right. So now the Gemara goes on to say the questions altogether, Bava Ben Buta's exchange with Hurdus. Because Bava Ben Buta gave Hurdus his whole idea of trying to counter what he did with the Rabbanon by compensating for that terrible tragedy by building the Beis HaMikdash. That was his suggestion. So why did he give him such good advice? Why would Baba Babuta do such a thing and give him this good advice? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says as follows, and others say as Yeshua ben Levi, why was Daniel punished? Mifnei Shehesi, and the Gemara explained in a moment what his punishment was. Mifnei Shehesi Eitzel and Nebuchadnezzar, because he counseled Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, when he set upon to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, So in Bais Rishon, Shenemar, as it said in by Daniel, Lahan Malcha Maki Yashba Alech V'chatecha B'tzedaka Pro. You want to relieve yourself of some of the terrible sins you've done. You can redeem yourself by doing acts of charity. V'avisa V'meichan Anyan. And if you engage in acts of charity, you'll see that this will bring a year or so of tranquility and peace to you. Uksiv, and it says, Kula mata al Nebuchadnezzar Malka, and Nebuchadnezzar was ultimately punished. However, Uksiv will look at Tzas Yirach and Treyasar. But in other words, what the travail fell upon Nebuchadnezzar. However, but the pasuk lets us know, look at Tzatz and Yarchin Treyasuch, that it took 12 months until tragedy prevailed upon Nebuchadnezzar. So there was a delay. And that delay was because Nebuchadnezzar listened to Daniel and to Daniel's advice about getting involved in acts of tzedakah and chesed. So in effect, Daniel's counsel gave some at least partial relief to Nebuchadnezzar. So, and we know that Daniel was punished, which again the Gemara will refer to shortly. So, if we know Daniel was punished because he gave some good advice to Nebuchadnezzar, because you shouldn't give Nebuchadnezzar to a Melech Rasha good advice. So how could he go ahead and give good advice to Hurdus? After all, he destroyed the Rabbanim of his time. So the Gemara says as follows. Yibayisema shiny avda diichayev v'mitzvahs. That you still have to distinguish, as bad as Hurdus was, but he was at least had a din of an Eved Knani, that has obligations to a mitzvah, the same mitzvah that a woman is obligated in. So he was at least, in a sense, a partial Jew. So as much as he's an Eved, but he also had an obligation of mitzvah. So to help out another Jew, he figured it's worth it. As bad as a Jew he was, but to help him out was worthwhile. And that's why he engaged in that idea of counseling him. The Bayisema, and others will say, shiny Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash, the whole idea of trying to restore the Beis HaMikdash, that was his goal, that was Bava Ben Buta's goal, is to try to restore the Beis HaMikdash. The Elohim Malchus, without the Malchus becoming involved, meaning without Hurdus becoming, ultimately Hurdus had to resort to the kingdom in Rome, to the rulers in Rome. But if you don't get permission from government, it's never going to happen. So therefore, Dilav Malchus, Lamisbani, it would never have been built. So Bava Ben Buta felt he had no choice, and he had to give counsel to Hurdus in order to be able to restore the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and that was not the same situation with Nebuchadnezzar, who was not building anything. Now, then the Gemara says, but Daniel Minal and the Yanish, how do we talk and know that Daniel was punished? Elaine, because you might say it says in the Pasuk, in Megillas Esther, Batikra, Esther Hasach. The Esther called upon Hasach. V'amarav and Rabbah told us Hasach zed Daniel. And Hasach is Daniel. So she called upon him. And what happened to Hasach? Chani chalaman diyama shechatchuhu migdulasai. The reason why he was called Hasach is because, he was kilo cut from his godless. He was demoted. So that was a punishment to Daniel was Hasach. And why was he called Hasach? Because he was demoted from his greatness. So that was a punishment for Daniel. El Lamandi Amash called Devre Malchus Nechtachin Alpiv. But if you say that Hasach means that all decisions on the upper government were decided by Hasach, he was the chief counsel. So where was the punishment? Ma'ik Alameima. What was the punishment? Well, he went through a little punishment. Dishayu Laguva Deraisa. Deraiyavasa. Don't forget, Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. He was spared, this is true, but it was a pretty frightening experience till he was finally spared. So that was the punishment, the fact that he was thrown into the den of lions, as much as miraculously he escaped, but it must have taken years off his life till he came out of there unscathed. And that was his punishment. Okay, now we get back to the Mishnah, and Gemara will continue on. Hakol Kaminag HaMedina. This is a reference to the beginning of the Mishnah which tells us that if two Jews have a fence between the two gardens, So if it's a, if the minig is to draw, I'm sorry, have two gardens. So if the minig is to make a fence in between, you construct the fence in between, and then you have to split the fees for constructing that fence. If there's no, if there is no minig to build that fence, then you don't to border the difference between the two gardens. So the Gemara says hakol la'asuya mai. When we say hakol k'minig amadina, what is this coming to include? Is la'asuya asra denehigim behusna v'dafna, that is coming to include even a town, which knows the Mishnah had mentioned certain materials that you build this fence with, but it didn't specify every type of material. But it's even coming to include, even if the minig is to put hutzim and dafna, these were like laurel branches, which were a bit of flimsy construction of this light wood. But if that's the minig of Medina to put up that type of flimsy partition, then you do that, and you split the expenses on that as well. Then the Mishnah said, "L'fikacham nafal hakosol, if the wall collapses." So now, hamakom va'avanim shel shneihem. So that space that was taken up by the wall and the stones that are now piled as a result of the collapse, that has to be, that's split between the two of them. And the two of them had to pay for the wall to go up. Now that it collapses, they share in the value of those walls after the stones after they collapse. Pshita Sigmar says, of course, they both shared in the expense in putting it up. Why shouldn't they both share in the value of the stones as they collapse? So Gemara says, Lo tzricha. Nope, it's talking about, here's the chiddush, the nafal reshus of the chad minayu. It's talking about what fell in the reshus of one of them. It was the wall collapsed, but it, a mazel, and it fell onto the one side. And so the fellow who's to the garden, to whom the wall, to which the wall fell, we'd say, okay, it's yours. You're lucky enough, it fell into your wall, it's yours. So we say no, but it's not so. It may just be that the wall fell into that side. However, since you both shared in constructing the wall, now you both share in the value and the property value of the wall after it collapses. Inami, or another situation, the paninu l'chad l'reshusa didei. That's talking about where one, this quickly, he swept the stones towards him. Now, the Mefarshim explained, the Mefarshim explained, it's talking about he did this and the other fellow didn't protest. I would say now the second fellow knows you did this and you didn't protest. So maybe now it's considered, you swept it into your side of the garden. It's now considered yours, as though you took hold of that property. Now, if the other fellow wants to now claim these stones, he's got to take you to Bezin to extract those stones from you. Because it's apparently he acquiesced to you having those stones. So you say, no, Kamash Malam, that's not so. And they share in the stones, in the value of the stones, because it was originally put up by both of them. So even though he swept it to his side, that doesn't have any impact on the halacha. And then the Mishnah had said, V'chein begina, makam shenahogu ligdar machayv nasot. There's a garden, there's a valley, and it was more prevalent. It was to put up a partition in a garden, which is it's a common walkway for people, or it's readily visible for people, and so therefore was people there was more concerned about eye and hurry. You're looking into my side, I'm looking to your side, so it was more prevalent to put up walls over there. So the Gemara says as follows, Hagufa Kasha. This itself is a Kasha. The Gemara is going to compare this to Bika in a moment. Hagufa Kasha, we don't quite get what's going on here. Amris, we at the outset of the mission said, V'chein Begina, and an Agina, Makam Shinagu, Ligdar Machayv, and also where there is a minuk to construct the fence, then if the local ordinance is to put up a fence, then you do put up a fence. Ha'astama ein mechayven aso. But if there was no ordinance to do so, then we don't obligate anybody to put up a fence. If there was not the common practice in that town, then you don't put up a fence. Now let's understand the sefer if that's the case. Ema Sefer, let's take a look at the Sefer. Aval Bika, but if it's in the valley, and again, a valley is less susceptible to Ayin Hara, therefore people are less inclined to put up a fence. Aval Bika, Makam Shinago, Shalolikda. If it's in the, if the minig was not to put up a fence, Ein Mechayv Naso, we do not obligate it. We do not obligate him to put up a fence. Hastama, but if under normal circumstances, Mechayv Naso, we would obligate him. So in other words, it seems that the default in the case of the Bika was that they normally would put up a fence, even though it says, because it's only B'makam Shinago Shalolikda, only in that town there they had a minig not to put up a fence, then you're not obligating. But the average custom was to that we would obligate them to put up a fence. The Gemara doesn't understand that. It's just the opposite of the way it should be, which the Gemara will explain. Hashta stam gina amras. Amras lo. So in the average, we just before inferred the fact that the average gina, we said, even though a gina, which is more susceptible to ayin hara, because people are trespassing about, amras lo, you still said that the average is that the common practice was not to put up a fence. Stam bika mi bai. So why should we think that you should put up a fence in a valley? A valley which is not susceptible to Ayin Hara. Why should the average community be mechayev obligated in a bika to put up a fence? The opposite just should be true. It's in a bika, we should not obligate you, the average person, to put up a fence, because bika is out there in nowhere's land, and there's no issue of Ayin Hara. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, Hachi Ka'ama. Here's what you have to understand. He understands, he puts a little bit of a twist on the Mishnah, and he understands it as follows. V'chein stam gina. And it's true of the average gina, now, that the average gina should require a fence. Not b'makam shenagu, but now he adds, like, u'b'makam shenagu, and in a place where the shenaku ligdar bebika, where there is a minig to put up a fence, and a bigger mechayiv and also. So in a stam, in a, the average garden is obligated, the average garden, and also in a place where they have the minig and a bika, they also are obligated. Meaning the average place in a bika is not obligated. So he's changing the words in the Mishnah. And not v'chein stam gina makom shenagu, but it's v'chein stam gina, period. The average gina does receive offense. Uba makom shenagu ligdar, out of a place where they actually made it their custom to put up a fence, but bika in a valley, then mechayev and also. But really, the average bika does not require a fence, because it's not within general sight of the average populace. So Amalei Rava, so Rava says to Abaya, Imkein my Aval. It's very nice what you're saying, Abaya, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says Aval b'makom shem, but in a place shenagu ligdar b'bika. You instead change it to ubamakom. But the Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says Aval b'makom shenagu ligdar b'bika mechayven also. Ela Amal Rava, so the Rava says as follows, Hachi Ketani. This is how you have to learn the Mishnah. V'chein stam gina, that the average gina, is kimakom shenagu ligdadami. Treat it like it is a place. Treat it as kimakom shenagu ligdadami. It is like a place that the minhag is to put up a fence, because the average gina, which is in the general populace, and we're concerned about ayin hara, that does require a fence. Umachayv nasoid, if it's obligated to put up a fence. Aval, now understand, when the aval comes in, aval stam bika is kimakom shelo nagu dami. But the average bika is a place that is the average is not to, the minig is not to. So even though the mission says aval bika b'makom shelo nagu, but what you have to understand that mission is saying aval stam bika, but the average bika is a makom shelo nagu, is like a place that the minig is not to put up a fence, and therefore for ema chayven also under ordinary circumstances in a bika, since we don't demand it of them. In a bika, so then you don't demand them to put up a fence, unless the minig of that particular vicinity was to put up a fence, even in a bika. Okay. The next one says, Ella, imrotza kana shelo obonav osa chazis. Now, then the Mishnah had said that if supposing the only one fellow wanted to put up a fence, so he marks off the, right in the middle of the land what's going to be considered the dividing line, and he puts up a fence. The other fellow doesn't care, but he wants a fence, and he puts up a chazis, which is a sign. So the Gemara says, "My chazis, what is a chazis? What is this sign?" Amar Rav Huna, ichfele lekarne levar. You bend over the wall on the top, and you sort of curl it over towards the outside, and that is the sign that this that the that other side of this curved over wall is my partner's or my neighbor's, and the inner part of the wall is mine. So the Gemara says, "Benaved milagav." Let's why doesn't he put the sign on the inside? Let it put it on the inside. So Gemara says, "Avid chavrei nami milabar," because we're afraid that the friend will also bend it over. If you're going to allow it to go towards the inner part, so the other friend is also going to bend it over to the inner side, his outer side, and that outer side will be pointing towards the friend, and he'll show that look, he put up a sign showing towards him, towards his inner side. I'm also putting up a sign towards his inner side. We're both doing it, and really, this wall really belongs to both of us because we both put up these equal signs. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi hashtanami guys lechavrei." Well, if that's so, if this fellow could be a wise guy, he can come along. Now that you say that he's gonna that the idea is to curl over the wall, hashnami guys lechavrei. We're not going to trust this fellow, neighbor number two, we're not going to trust, maybe he'll just come along and shave off the top part of the wall. You make up a sign by curling over the wall, he'll just come and lob it off. And he'll reclaim the fact that this fence belongs to both of us. So when it says, Gizuza Meida Yade, when you come to, if you're going to lob it off, that people know that. They see that this wall was tampered with. Ika the Amri, others say Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna had a different suggestion. Michvala kane melagav, that you actually put the wall towards your inner side. So the Gemara asked the other way around. Venavid milabar, why don't you have it pointing towards the outside? So the Gemara says Gaizle chavre, because we're afraid if you have it pointed towards the outside, Gaizle chavre, since it's pointing towards his friend's neighbor, his yard, so it's within his property, he's going to come on and lob that off. That this fence really belongs to both of us, and he removed it as a sign. Ihachi hashta nami laif lechavre. If you're saying that he's going to lob off part of it because it's facing his property, he can lob off even if it's facing the other fellow's property. As long as he's such an untrustworthy character, he'll lob it off no matter where it's facing. Vamidi David Dehu. So the Gemara says, and again he'll claim that this fence belongs to both of us. So the Gemara says, Lifufa made the yade. People, word gets out. When he starts lobbing things off, word gets out. So this is the second lashon. The Gemara is coming to more or less a similar conclusion, except that here he says that you curl over the wall towards you. So the Gemara says, but how could you say towards you? Vahami b'chutz k'tani. It does say, the Mishnah does say, Mibachutz, if you look at the Mishnah does say that you curl over the wall, Mibachutz, towards the outside. So how could you go ahead and say that he bends it towards the inside? So the Gemara says, Kasha, that that's a good Kasha, and the Gemara leaves it at that. And if you take a look at Tosfos explains why this was not a Tiyufta. Let's go on. Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman says, Nishaya ba'amsa milabar. That what she said that you have to do is that you coat the top amas worth of cement, and on the outside. So that's your sign. You have like a coating of cement that runs along the top outer part of the wall. Why don't you have the cement going towards the inner wall, the inner part of the owner of the fence? So the Gemara says, Avid Chavre Milabar, because we're afraid that the friend is going to put his cement on the outside. I mean, he says, the DVD day, who it's really both of ours. So he cemented, I cemented. Ihachi Hashta Nami de Kafale Chavre. Vamadi Davidi Dehu. So he's maybe he can just now you're telling him to put some cement running across. He can come and scrape off the cement. It's not a big deal to scrape off the cement and let him. And then he might come to claim that it's both of ours. And where it says Kilufa Meida Yade. When you scrape off something, it leaves a mark, and it's hard to just make erase it perfectly. There's going to be that the residual mark of the cement as it's erased, so as it's scraped off. So it's not it won't accomplish too much by doing that. Another word says hutza. Supposing you had your fence made of these flimsy laurels, so how are you going to have a sign then? It's not going to work to bend over very well. It won't carry the cement very well. So Gemara says, "Sinufa yarechim elabar," that you sort of braid those branches of this flimsy tree wall. You braid them over, and you braid them over towards the other side. And that's the way you accomplish it with a hutza wall. Venava milagav, why don't you have it facing towards the inside? And Avina, so be afraid, the same thing. Avina mechavim lulabar, his friend is also going to have it pointing towards that direction. Va'amrin, he said, the dividi dehu, this is really, we both made signs here, both in the same direction, and the wall is really to be shared by both of us. So the verse says, Ihachi hashtanami gayez v'shadile, maybe he'll come and cut off the top layer. Of this hutzah, of this flimsy wall. Now, Tosfos already asks, actually Tosfos is the end of Adal Amar Aleph. Tosfos asks, why didn't the Gemara right before said, Gai Zlei Chavrei Vishadi Lei Alfagad Del Il, even though before it says, Gezuzi Meida Yadi, people see when it's something shaved off. But for hutzah la yada, Tosfos says, when it comes to hutzah, you can cut it off. It's such a flimsy, cheap wood that you can cut off. People won't even know that anything that it was tampered with. Because the whole wall is not a solid structure. So the Gemara says, "Yachi hashtanami guys v'shadile." Why are we concerned? They might shave off the top part of the wall. But Amen, he'll say, "The divide day who that it's ours." The Gemara says, "Mishrak leitina," because you cement it down. You cement that little part down of this flipped over hutzah wall. You should put some lime or some cement laced across it to hold a little curl into place, so it won't be easy to shave off. Hashnami asi chavre v'kalaflei, but maybe he'll come and he'll scrape off that cement that you're talking about. So when it says may the yaday, as we said before, when you come to scraping off existing cement, that's going to leave its mark, and that's something that people will readily see that you've tampered with it. Abaya hutza less like takanta. Abaya says to forget about it with a hutza. There's no other etza to do because you really can't you can't tamper with a hutza. Ela b'shtar, the only etza you have is with a shtar. You have to have a document, or else it's not going to go. All right. Then the Gemara continues. Avalam osam idash shnehem. But if you the two of you get together and you decide to put up a wall together. Amalei Rava Miparzikal Ravashi. So he says, Parzikal says to Ravashi, Lo Yasa says, if the two put up a wall jointly, so you have to put up two, so each one should put up his own sign, the mission says. So Amalei Rava Miparzikal Ravashi, Lo Yasa Zeh, Lo Zeh, Velo Zeh. If the two of you agree to put up this wall, so don't put up a sign. You're both in agreement. What do you need a sign either way? Amaleis, he says, La tzricha de kadam chad minayu, that one of them decides to jump the gun, and now as the wall's being constructed, he puts up a sign. Over the day, and he puts up a sign. V'ilayad chavre, and if his friend would not put up a sign to counter that, I mean, he'll say, the day, this whole wall belongs to me. So the Gemara, so that's why we're suggesting that you, that if you two of you put up a wall together, you know what? It's a good idea. Two of you put up a sign together so you'll avoid any conflict. So the Gemara says, "Vatana takantel ramoi." This the Mishnah tells you the chatchila to put up to each one of you should put up a sign, suspecting that you're going to be a bunch of ramoi and a bunch of deceivers. The ramoi kamash malan amalei. I mean, we don't set up a Mishnah to teach you about deceiving people. That's not the idea. The Mishnah shouldn't be addressing people who are involved in trickery. But wait a second, what about before? We also had to, the Reisha part of the Mishnah, we're talking about one person put up a wall, and the Reisha said, also advise you to put up a sign. So wasn't that also for Ramay? Wasn't that also to address people who might be involved in deception? Amalei says, no, there's a difference in the Reisha in here. Bishlam Reisha, Tana Dina, there was a certain halacha about there was a din that they were involved with, the wall goes up, and in case the wall go, and it's talking about one person. They were not in agreement to begin with to put up a wall. One person decided to put up a wall. So you have a takana for this person, put up the wall to separate you and your neighbor. But the mishum dina tana takanta. But because it's susceptible now, because the other guy was opposing you, the other guy was not happy with this wall. So now we had to teach you the din to put up we gave you this idea of putting up a sign. Ela seifa dina katani the takanta takanta. There was no problem to begin with. Both people are talking about in agreement to put up the wall. So why should you have to be concerned that maybe one of them is going to be a treacherous person to decide to fool the other one? Amaravina hacha bahutzi askinam. And what we're talking about really that part of the mission is talking about hutzis. The reason why you have to put each one has to put up a sign is because we're talking about this flimsy type of wall. Afukamid abaya, which comes to exclude abaya. Amahutza lesle takanta. Because who said that with hutza there is no takana? Ela bishtara, that the only way you can address a hutza wall is if you put up is with a shtar. Nothing else will help. You have to have a document clearly delineating what the situation is with this hutza wall. So we were saying here, kamashon de bechazis sagi, bechazis sagi, if you put up a sign, that's good enough. So just putting up the sign should really help you. That's the chiddush here. If this part of the Mishnah is not talking, is addressing that issue of a hutzah wall, which can be, which we can be addressed with a shtar. We now go to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah says, "Hamakav es chaver mishalosh ruchosav." If you surround, you have a neighbor that let's say has a square patch of land in the middle of another field, and now he becomes surrounded by its three sides by somebody else. Vagada es harishona. He now the outer owner fences in the inner owner, and he fences in the three sides of it. Vagada es harishona v'es hashniya v'es hashlishis, first, second, and third sides. Ein mechayv en oso, we do not obligate the first fellow, the inner one, to pay in the expense of the fence at all. It was not his idea; he didn't ask for it, and we do not obligate him to chip in for that for those fences. Rabbi Yosi, if he got up and he fenced in the fourth side, then we require him to pay for all of them. Now, the simple meaning here is that Rabbi Yosi holds that if the nikaf means the one who is surrounded, that he is the one that puts up the fourth fence, then that shows that he approved or he acquiesced to the first three fences going up, and he seemed to benefit from those first three fences going up. Now that he's surrounded himself completely, so now he has to share in the expenses of all of the fences entirely. However, the Gemara will dispute that and have different understandings of this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rav Yosi, the halacha is indeed like Rav Yosi, the Amar who said, Im Amad v'gadus Ravias, that if he gets up and he surrounds the fourth dimension, Megalagalan Lav Esakol, that we put the expenses on the first one, he has to pay for all the four walls now, or has to share in the expenses for all the four walls. And Loshna Amad Nikaf, makes no difference who was the one who put up this final wall, whether it's the one who's being surrounded, the original field owner, Loshna Amad Makif, or the surrounder, the one who lived in the outer, who had the outer fields, whether he was the one that put up these fences. And either one of those two puts up the final wall, then they have to share in all of the expenses of all four walls. Because then it turns out that this guy, that the fellow with the inner field, himself is certainly benefiting from. Now he's completely surrounded by walls, so it only stands to reason that he should share in those expenses. Itmar, Rav Huna Amar Hakol Lefi Masha Gadar, that you have to pay when you do chip in. You have to chip in to the extent that to whatever materials were used. If there were expensive materials or cheap materials, that's what you have to share in the expenses, to divide it based upon the expenses of the materials that were used. Rav Amar Chiyah Bar Rav says, no, hakol lefid demei kanam bezol, that you estimate these expenses only according to the cheapest materials available, meaning that the inner fellow, it's true he's going to have to chip into this all the walls, but we're only going to estimate him based on the cheapest materials available, because he has a right to say, I don't know, I never would have put up such expensive walls. I would have resorted to the cheapest, flimsiest type of a wall. And he has a right to say so, and based on that calculation is how we estimate his share in the expenses. But again, the understanding of Yossi will soon come to the fore. Tanan, the Mishnah says, HaMakav Eschaver Mishalosh Ruchaysav. If you surround your friend by three dimensions, v'gadar es rishonam, v'yasashniv es hashlishis, and you fence in the first side, second side, and third side, emachay v'nasay, as the Mishnah says, we do not obligate the fellow at the inner field, we do not obligate him to pay anything towards those walls. He didn't do that. Horavius, but if a fourth wall went up, machay v'nasay, then we do obligate him to chip into the walls. So that's how the Mishnah reads. Then that's how the Mishnah is understood. And once you put up, right now the Gemara is understanding that even the Tanakhama holds that once you put up a fourth wall, then everybody gets involved in the payment. So Gemara says, however, Amos Sefer, let's take a look at the Sefer. Rabbi Yossi apparently is differing from the Tanakhama, so where lies the difference? So let's take a look at the Sefer. Amos Sefer, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi says as follows, in Omar Vagadas Ravius, you got up and you fenced in the fourth wall, Megalgalonav Esakol. So we exact payment from him for all the walls together. So now let's try to figure out the difference between Rav Yossi and the Tanakhama. Bishlam Rav Huna, we understand things work out right according to Rav Huna, the Amaha Kol Fima Shagadaba, that you estimate the value according to the actual materials that you used, based on the expense of the actual materials. So now Haina the Ika Bain Tanakhama Rav Yossi. Now we can understand the difference between the Tanakhama Rav Yossi. I think Gemara's understanding Rav Yossi is always the makel at this point. Tanakhama Sava, the Tanakhama will hold Hakolafi Demei Kina Bezol. The Tanakhama will hold how do you estimate it? The difference between the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi will be Tanakhama holds that you estimate things according to the cheapest materials available. And that's how you evaluate it. Umasha Godar Lo, but based on the actual materials used in the actual fence, that's not how you estimate it, but you estimate in the cheapest materials available. Rav Yossi says, Hakol Lefi Masha Godar. And Rav Yossi will be the Machmir, and he'll say, no, you estimate it based on what he actually used, the building materials actually used. So if there were expensive materials, you base your expenses on that. So Rav Yossi will turn out to be the more machmer in just about all cases over the Tanakhama. Elalachia, so that works out according to Rav Huna. The Elalachia Barah, but according to Rechia Barah, the Amaha Kalafi, the Meik Kana Bazul, that you always estimate he holds even according to Rabbi Yossi, you always estimate by assessing the cheapest materials available. So my Ika Bain Tanakhama the Rabbi Yossi. How are we going to differentiate between the Tanakhama Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Yossi is the one who seems to be saying that that you estimate it according to the cheapest materials available. Idemei Kanam Bazul, if you're going to, according to Rabbi Yossi, estimate this according to the cheapest materials available, if according to the Tanakhama, then he's not going to have to pay even the cheapest materials. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is the machmer. He's going to be the one that holds that you have to pay based on the cheapest materials, because that's how Rav Barava understood Rabbi Yossi. So, but then what's the Tanakhama going to hold? So my Koyovile, according to Tanakhama, you're not offering to pay based on the cheapest materials, so what are you offering according to the Tanakhama? So Gemara says, Iboi That there's yet a cheaper level than that. And that is, that according to the Tanakhama, you can always offer to pay by saying, I don't want to pay based on any materials. I would be happy just to hire a guard here and there, during the, as Rashi explains, during the growing season, to hire a guard to make sure no one steals anything. But that's just a seasonal guard, and that's all I would be interested in paying. That comes out less expenses than investing in any type of even flimsy wall. So that's how the Tanakhama would be more makel. Tanakhama sava aga natira in demekon and bezal lo. That he can say, I want to just pay for a watchman on the on that seasonal basis, but I'm not interested in paying even for cheap materials. Rabbi Yossi sava, Rabbi Yossi will say, demekon and bezal. Nope, estimate me based on the cheapest walls at least. So that it's a notch more or machmir than the chachamim. V'yibayis emor, there's another way of looking at this. Rishayna shniya v'shlishis ikan benayu. This would be the standard way, really, of looking at this Mishnah. That the difference is between the first, second, and third, wall. What does he mean? Tanakhama sava, the Tanakhama says, revis hu de yahiv lay. That one, we're going to estimate him, we're only going to estimate him based on that fourth wall. The fourth wall went up, that's what we charge him for, but no more than the fourth wall. Avarishana shniva shlishis layav lay. But there's not have to share in the expenses of the first three walls. Of Rabbi Yossi Savar, Rabbi Yossi, who come along to be Machmir, Rishana Shniva Shlishis Nami Yahavlei, that he even has to share in the expenses of the first three walls. And that will be the difference between Rabbi Yossi and Tanakhama, and here too, Rabbi Yossi will be the Machmir. Ibaisem, another way of looking at this, Makif and Nikaf Ikabanayu. There's a difference between who put up this wall, the one, the surrounder, or the surroundee. The Tanakhama Sava, the Tanakhama says, Tama de Amma Nikaf, the reason is because the Nikaf got up and he put up the final wall. Therefore, it's the Megalgal Amma Sakol. That's why we now, once he's put up the fourth wall, now we throw in all three walls against him. Because he shows that he's happy having, being walled in. Aval Amad Makiv, but if the surrounder, the second fellow comes along and he's the one who put up the fourth wall, he only has to pay the fourth wall. If the Makif is the one who did it, so the inner one was not necessarily so satisfied to have the fourth wall, so we can only charge him for the one wall. Rabbi Yossi says, Loshna Nikav, Loshna Makif. Either way, you estimate him for all four walls. What is the nikah of the makif? Once that fourth wall goes up, and it seems to benefit everybody, then they both have to share in all the expenses. So here too, Rabbi Yossi will be the machmir over the Tanakhama. Lishnach Rino, another way of understanding this is makif ika, v'nikav ika benayu. There is indeed a difference between if the makif did it or the nikav did it. Tanakhama sava im gadar makif is haravias. Nami Yavlei, that the Tanakhama holds that if the Makif got up and he walled in the fourth wall, you also have to charge him. So the Rabbi Yossi Asava im Amad Nikaf v'Gadar Eservius. If the Nikaf was the one who got up, only if the Nikaf was the one who got up and he surrounded himself with the fourth wall, who the Yavlei? That's when we estimate him and he's got a share in the expenses. The galidaita de nichale, because now he shows that he's actually happy with it. Avalim gadar makif, but indeed according to this opinion, if the makif did it according to Rabbi Yossi, lo yavle midei, he's not obligated to give him anything. So in other words, this last shot over here is a complete twist from the other three terutzim. This one understands that here Rabbi Yossi actually is the mekel, the Tanakhama is the machmir, because according to this lashon, it says when Rabbi Yossi says at the end of the Mishnah, Amra Rabbi Yossi Amra im Amad Begado es Ravis Megalgal Sakol, that is only in the case with the Nikaf got up to do it, but his purpose, Rabbi Yossi, in stating was that if the Makif does that, then the Nikaf doesn't have to share expenses at all, whereas the Tanakhama would say, yes, in either case, you have to share the expenses once that fourth wall goes up. So in this last understanding, indeed, Rabbi Yossi is the Mekel, and the Tanakhama is the Machmir, different than the other three Terutzim.